today is the 18th? 19th?
No.
No.
That was yesterday. Well, not even yesterday.
It's the 22nd.
What is the day?
Saturday.
My days have been so mixed up lately.
22nd, I think. Yes.
Okay.
The 22nd.
22nd. January 22nd.
Time marches on whether we want it to or not.
I'm ready for winter to be over. I'm okay with January
You're
marching
premature.
On.
Your
boiler snake is doing a great job in here. I mean, it's,
oh, it's scary.
Yeah,
me.
It feels good in here.
I'm dying.
I've got this big fuzzy vest on. I'm like extra comfortable.
That's a.
It's boiler toasty. Snake's,
boiler snake's constricting me, and it's coils of love. It's too much. Well, let's start. We decided to go business and security. So this is a packed Wednesday to get you over the hump. Friday's going to suffer because of that.
But you're welcome.
We'll try to go fast. No, we don't. We don't care.
So let's start out with a big milestone. We all knew they were going to do it. I mean, after all, the Fed is just pumping liquidity into the giant companies and just feeding them like overfed giant reptiles. I don't know. Snakes themselves. And Alphabet has joined the T Club.
Alphabet, Google's parent company, has hit the $1 trillion market cap for the first time. So that's the third company to pass the $1 trillion mark, with Apple and Amazon being first and second. Yay. $1 trillion company.
Just staring off vacantly into space.
On the other hand, it makes me feel slightly better about the national debt being, what, $1.6 trillion?
Does it?
That doesn't make me feel better. That makes me feel way worse.
I mean, that's valuation. That's not revenue. So even if we seized all of their revenue, which would kill them for years at a time, we wouldn't come close to.
We can't even service the debt anymore. That's just crazy.
Well, sure we can. Just borrow more money.
At a negative interest rate?
What, are you stupid?
Doesn't your dad just have more money?
Well, speaking of having too much money and abusing your position, how about Comcast? They got caught in their own web of deceit. And for once, they're going to be punished for it. Well, not really punished.
Punished is definitely in quotation marks.
Basically,
there.
Put those items you stole back and we'll pretend this never happened.
Comcast settles lying allegations and will issue refunds and cancel debts. 31,600 customers will get refunds or debt relief in Minnesota. So if you don't live in Minnesota, Comcast is free to continue doing whatever they've been doing that got them in trouble in the first place.
They have to do more of it to make up for the Minnesota sales.
It literally, I mean, these companies are so large, they will literally do whatever they can do and get away with. And if they don't happen to get away with it in all states, like Minnesota, meh.
Oh, you got to think.
Still worth doing.
Every other state where Comcast operates in is just chomping at the bits. Like, let's
are
get
they?
That money.
I mean, I don't think that most people, I don't think most prosecutors care because they would have been involved long before now.
Let me rephrase that. There are law offices calling up their buddies in the legislature who are like, yo, we need to get paid from this. So they're talking about, this is the old gambit where they sell you. They lease you a modem, and you're like, oh, I don't want to pay for that. So you send it back and get your own modem, and they continue billing for it. And then they also will be like, hey, if you sign up for a full year, I'm going to give you these sweet gift cards. And you're like, yeah, gift cards. And they just don't give them to you.
Yeah.
And you can't get out of the contract because you signed a contract.
Also, the fees. Like, there were some complaints about the random fees, like advertising one price, and then that you can't actually get that price.
So basically the worst kinds of business maneuvers that you can do and get away with. Except now, maybe you can't get away with them 1/50th of the time. Actually, Minnesota does not have enough population to be 1/50th of the customers.
No.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Apple has gobbled up more of the market. They're using their $1 trillion wisely to invest in other winners.
Wisely.
That was unintentional. So don't innovate, just consume. But if you are a customer with one of these people that got gobbled up, you're going to suffer.
Apple's latest AI acquisition leaves some Wyze cameras without people detection. That was a major selling point of Wyze's affordable cameras. So there's these little cameras. Yes, it all goes to the cloud. Oh. Apple acquisition. Used to do face recognition. Now it doesn't.
The feet really add a lot to that.
I do. It's adorable. Kind of looks like the...
It should be orange. It's like a bird.
The Pixar...
Oh, yeah.
If it were animated. Although these guys in the back here don't have feet.
An Orwellian.
They're screaming.
Or maybe, well, maybe you push it down. You think it's...
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So if you have one of those, there's a update that's probably already been pushed, but if it hasn't, you may want to pull that off the network if you want to keep your people detection. Although, did it take place in the cloud or on the...
Yeah, no, the cloud part of it is gone.
So maybe it wouldn't matter anyway. And Amazon, the other big T. Oh, no, it was Microsoft, wasn't it? Was Amazon one of them?
Yeah, it was Amazon and Apple for the $1 trillion.
I thought Microsoft was one of them.
Mm-mm, not yet.
Oh. Wow, Microsoft.
They're only $886 billion.
Get on.
Only.
Man. Jesus.
Man, they're struggling.
What are you doing?
It's rough.
So, yeah, one of the other big T's has an interesting thing going on in court with the U.S. government. Because, as Trump said, the government does a lot to help out these giant companies. But sometimes when they snub them, the hurt is real.
Amazon to ask the court to block the DoD's $10 billion early Valentine's date with Microsoft Jedi. Not keen to let them hang solo. So Amazon didn't get the Jedi award contract for cloud services. And it's like, we're Amazon. We invented the cloud. How could we possibly not get this contract? It's jointly awarded to what? Microsoft and somebody else?
But I think the other person is... Was it Oracle? No, Oracle is out.
No,
but whoever the other one is just a side note. It's all Microsoft, pretty much.
So Amazon's just like, no, stop it.
I got a point. I mean, AWS is arguably better.
Yeah, it depends on what you're doing.
But
Microsoft's got the Office cloud. Amazon doesn't have that.
Do we need that?
I think the DoD is scared to death of not having PowerPoint.
That's true. That probably is like 90% of what they do.
I need those slide animations.
Just waste people's time.
Yeah. I mean, remember the Snowden slides? It's like, this is stock PowerPoint animations. Like, the terrible Orwellian algorithm is eating the globe. That's a stock PowerPoint animation.
I bet
it's
the guy,
they keep those.
Whoever was the author of that PowerPoint, when it got leaked, he's like, I'm terrified that this was leaked. But God, look at those animations.
I killed it
with that one. Yeah. Audible has an interesting lawsuit that we talked about before. Now, here's the question. We'll rehash in case you didn't know what this is about. If you make a recording and then I listen to that recording and transcribe it, is that the same as the written book the recording was based on? It's an interesting question. And we're really never going to find out the answer, unfortunately.
Audible has settled the copyright lawsuit with publisher over audiobook captions. 7 publishers had sued the audiobook giant last July, claiming that its audio-to-text service captions was unauthorized. And in court, things were not going well for Audible, because they had said, hey, this is not a reading experience. And the judge said, there's words that you read. How is this not a reading experience?
But if you have the permission to read the text out loud, why would you not have permission?
Their lawyers apparently didn't make that argument. Or if they did, they were arguing something dumber.
It is a crazy argument, no matter how you go, because the publishers are saying, hey, we sell exactly the same text that you're gleaning from the audiobook, and you're now going to sell that out from under us. But it's...
If you're still getting like an audio recording, like I would think you would have to buy the rights to the book before you could do the audio recording.
No, yeah, the Audible has the right to produce audiobooks from the thing. They just didn't have the right to produce text.
Right. And it's not the same text technically, but it amounts to the same thing.
Yeah.
It's such a... that kind of feels like the publisher's just trying to like draw blood from a stone, because it's like, oh, we've already sold you the rights once, but maybe we could do it twice. Like,
well, I mean, if you could export that, then if you bought an Audible book, you could constantly steal and then publish,
I guess.
What if you use the AI on your phone running locally to do that for you?
What if they just gave you the app, then make it part of the service?
Scary.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's trying to lock down information, which is never going to work. But they will not stop trying. So we get this nonsense. Wasting the court's time. So we all know that Google is probably the best search engine. Some people will argue about that. But you do pay a price for using it. And that price...
your soul!
All your data, the ads are being tailored, the search results are being tailored to... you know, trick you into thinking that the world agrees with you more than it might. And so
everyone is anti-vax.
Yeah, there's a high cost with using Google, but it's so good. So what's the alternative? Well, there's one more that's entered the fray.
Verizon Media launches OneSearch, a privacy-focused search engine.
Verizon, privacy-focused. Verizon.
I can't even read that headline with a straight face. Let's not forget that Verizon is also the people that introduced the Super Cookie, which inserted markers into literally all of your unencrypted web traffic so you could be personally identified and uniquely identified.
A Verizon advocate would argue that's like, hey, who is better positioned to be anti-tracking than us? Because we're the kings of tracking. We know exactly how to defeat ourselves. So they claim that they're going full privacy mode, even to the point where your user agent and your search string and your IP address are logged to 3 unconnected servers that can never communicate with one another. There's also a fourth server.
We're not logging them. We're just not connecting them.
The fourth server that they don't talk about is the one that's storing your profile, probably. So, do you trust Verizon?
No.
I don't. There's several stories in the theme of personal information as asbestos. Like, it's the 21st century, 21st century asbestos. Because, you know, asbestos is an amazing technology. It's naturally occurring. It's everywhere. It has great thermal properties. A little bit of lung cancer.
You've made a lot of jokes about asbestos this episode. Did you find out some more bad news about the house you're looking at?
No, nothing like that. It's just that I thought, like, in reading all of the stories about PII this week, it's like, that's the new asbestos, because it's like, all these companies are like, oh, it's just so good, I want to hang on to it, but it creates all these liabilities and, like, these compound problems. And so Verizon's like, we need to be privacy focused by tracking everything.
Did you see all the clickbait articles?
Yeah.
I didn't even tell you what it was about. You say, yeah.
He's seen all of them.
The Wizard of Oz snow scene. The snow was 100% pure asbestos.
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about the clickbait articles for, like, the privacy stuff, where it was like, use this VPN that's privacy respecting, because that's what I got on that story. And it was like, that's the VPN that, like, sells everything.
But it's funny because she was, like, you know, looking up and dancing around in it.
Literally,
just poison raining from the soundstage.
Did anybody die from that?
Who knows?
I've also learned that there's different, like, there's some asbestos that's much worse than other asbestos.
It was probably the worst.
Yeah,
it was probably extra lethal.
Extra tasty, though.
Well, maybe some good news this week. Although this only counts toward the normies buying fully constructed units. This is not a do-it-yourself measurement. But hey. Still better than the alternative, I guess.
Annual global PC shipments grew for the first time in 8 years. Lenovo retains its title as the world's number one PC maker. Well, computers didn't really get a lot faster for the last 8 years until AMD came along. So, bazing.
They blame Windows 7 as being the big driver here. And they expect it to continue because in a lot of the world, Windows 7 is still being used. So, we'll see. Meanwhile, the Boring Company, which was kind of a joke and for a lot of years didn't accomplish much of anything, seems to have found new life in good old Las Vegas.
The Boring Company's Las Vegas tunnel is nearly 50% done. So they're only 2 months into this project, and they've already completed a mile of tunnel, and it's going to be 2 miles total. It's a 1 mile round trip, so two tunnels, and it's half done. That's very impressive.
Where is it taking you? I guess.
From the airport to the strip and to a convention center. I guess it's a loop.
I was going to say, that's not a bad little loop.
And they claim it's going to move 4,400 people an hour.
It's very impressive. Mm.
There's also, in this story, Tesla Roddy, there's a live stream of the digging operation. And I watched a loader put dirt in trucks for like 10 minutes last night. I was hypnotized by it.
You're so easily, like, seduced by strange videos like that. You're like, all right, I'll watch this.
Yeah.
Like the vending machine videos.
Because when I started watching it, the truck was, like, slowly backing in. I'm like, what's this truck up to? And then the loader started filling it up. I was like, how full is it going to get it?
You had to know.
You think we could borrow one of the Boring Company machines here and just, like, start tunneling somewhere, from somewhere to somewhere else? I don't know where it would be useful.
No, I don't think he would. Got to be honest with you. Well, meanwhile, Tesla's, we haven't heard a lot about Tesla in terms of, you know, new car innovations since that god-awful truck. But they are still working new features in, and one of them is a government-mandated feature that is the alert tone. How many, is it 30 miles an hour or 13 or... There's a certain mile per hour limit. If it's under that, your car needs to make a noise so that you don't run people over in parking lots and stuff like that. And there seems to be some cool byproducts coming from them being forced to put that technology in.
Elon Musk shows how Teslas will talk to pedestrians. Well, don't just stand there staring. Hop in. That's what a Tesla Model 3 says in a video that's linked in this article. I think they really missed an opportunity to get that guy that's still alive for at least a little bit longer that was the voice of Kit from Knight Rider. They could have just done that.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, screaming. Like, just nonstop. Like, like, you know, so you know the car's coming.
Like the sun from Rick and Morty.
That's what exactly what I was thinking.
There's so that's one of the big things that people are speculating about is, are you going to be forced to use a preset series of noises, or can you upload your own?
I'm not going to pay a dollar for the Alexa Samuel L. Jackson voice, but I totally would pay a dollar for the voice of the car from Knight Rider if I had a Tesla.
I want like an old Eastern Kentucky lady voice for my Tesla.
The other thing is, will it just be, like you say, pre-recorded messages to other drivers, or can you just like pick up a mic and start talking? Because that's going to make road rage really interesting.
It was hard to hear on the video, but it sounded vaguely text-to-speechish.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of N-words coming out of cars.
Oh, can I get Microsoft Sam? For my Tesla.
Speaking of search engines, wow, should have put these two stories together.
I thought that they were going to be together, and then they weren't.
Yeah, well, whose fault is that, Krista?
Yours?
No. Never mind. Anyway, Google had the EU ruled against them and said, listen, you're selling these devices and you have all these apps. You have this big search bar at the top of every Android phone and it uses your search engine. And that's a monopoly, sir, and you must do something about it. And they did do something about it, something ingenious and a little bit evil.
Bing has lost out to DuckDuckGo in Google's new Android search engine ballot thing. So Google is going to start offering EU users a choice of their default search engine when they set up their phone. And the order that they appear in is based on popularity, which is this ballot vote. And so DuckDuckGo has moved up ahead of Bing. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I started using DuckDuckGo recently.
You have to pay something to get on this ballot.
It's not a lot, though.
But they're like, hey, you're making this. This is ridiculous. So every country has their own order. Which is interesting. Everybody seems to love DuckDuckGo the best.
It works pretty well. The only thing that I'm finding that I sometimes switch back to is I prefer Google Maps.
Oh, the UK, they're not having it.
They like Bing.
They're the lone Bing holdout. Interesting. So anyway, you get that choice when you set up your phone for the first time, or you can dig into the settings and change it. So it's no longer just Google. It's interesting that Google's not even in the running there.
Well, I think those were... I think the big three like was after the same Google. Everywhere, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where's Ask Jeeves, though?
Web crawler.
Alta Vista.
So, patents. We talk a lot about patents and patent trolling and the problems that come with modern-day patents. Now, AI is getting into the fray of filing patents. So, when you think about them, you wonder... How hot is the patent filing? Are we slowing down? Are we speeding up? Well, we have the answer, and it's pretty surprising.
U.S. patents had a record 333,530 granted in 2019. IBM and Samsung lead the pack.
Good old IBM.
IBM and Microsoft have been patenting a lot of stuff per year since the dawn of time, but IBM's patent war chest is insane.
And, of course, they will use those patents to destroy small businesses going forward.
I'm honestly surprised they're not more litigious because, like, look at how, like, you know, lawsuit Larry at Oracle. I mean...
Lawsuit Larry.
I mean, that's what... Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, IBM's not competing as directly in the consumer space anymore, I guess. So maybe one day they will.
Ooh.
And they'll have a nice little backup plan if they don't succeed. Now, this story is really, really exciting. because it's something, this really does to me, this seems like the future. You know how we're never, we don't have our flying cars. The visions of the distant past of what the future should be, we're not there. Now we do have little pieces of glass that show us all the world's knowledge. That's kind of cool. But we don't have the flying cars, and we don't have this until now.
Augmented reality and a contact lens. It's the real deal. Startup Mojo Vision unveils a working prototype of its AR contact lenses. I didn't really get much of an impression as to what you're going to see other than like maybe like ColecoVision. Remember how like the Atari looked kind of like in the 80s? It was not good.
Well, so the first iterations of this are admittedly not exciting. Although I think the coolest thing about it is you get a little pack to wear and it wirelessly powers.
Gives you tumors?
I'd be more concerned. So your eye needs oxygen, and that's why like contacts have gotten better and better since they were first invented, because they've gotten thinner and thinner. You're putting like a very thick piece of, I assume, plastic on your eye here. And if you wear that for any like length of time, how unhealthy are your eyes going to be?
Well, there's a way more dystopian aspect of this, but before I say that, they are working on somehow getting a battery into that thing.
Oh.
Now, when that catches fire, that's going to be
bad. My eyes, they're literally burning. But
the first iterations of this are pretty simple. So if you have poor vision and you can't like trace outlines very well, it's actually going to go in and trace all the outlines in a room for you so that you can see better. So like if you're driving and you see like halos or double vision or whatever, it's going to go in and fill in those blurry spots. Eventually, they hope to have full AR with it. Now, here's the dystopian part. Think about the horror that the advertising industry will use for this. Because this is powered, and because it is driven by, I assume, some kind of diode, you can see this when your eyes are closed.
That's why you take them out. You're supposed to take your contacts out anyway. Even the day and night ones you're supposed to take out after a while.
Didn't you have advertisements in your time, Fry? It's like, oh, we had them everywhere, just not in our dreams.
Exactly.
That is a really terrible... Man, I should really make sure my glasses are up to date. What if they start sneaking that technology in all contacts?
See, I don't... I mean, okay, contacts are fine, but I would take a pair of glasses that looks like a normal pair of glasses. That would be fine.
Yeah, not the giant...
Yeah, it seems like that would be more attainable.
VR headset.
And more useful more quickly.
Yeah, but we can't advertise to you when you're sleeping. If you
So there's no chance to monetize it beyond the initial sale of the device, and that's not acceptable.
Another big acquisition this week in the e-commerce world, and Visa, who had already conquered tracking your payments in ways that are just horrific and great for building that advertising profile, they said, you know what? The U.S. dollar, that's an asset that we can track pretty much to whatever point we want. But what about all these other assets people have? We need to know more about those.
Visa is acquiring Plaid for $5.3 billion, 2x its final private valuation. I think the reason that they are paying so much more for it is because the other bidder was Google, which is even more scary than Visa. Like, what Visa lacks in technical aptitude to be able to execute on this data set, they're going to more than make up for lack of morals and guidance.
So Plaid tracks your, you know, like stocks and if you have bonds and stuff like that, all those other kinds of asset. I don't know, it might do real estate.
It's an API for integrating with all of those aspects of your life.
So your Visa profile can contain all of those things. Yeah. And they're probably going to give you a really cool website to put all that together. And you're going to be like, oh, this is so cool. And they're going to reap so much more of it.
Yeah.
Than you ever will.
It's like, oh, you want to invest in bonds? No, we're going to just take your money.
Bonds. That's anti-American.
All I could think the whole time was, what a lazy stock photo. Oh, the last one, yeah. I'm like, surely they have some sort of logo, right? But no, you went with just literal like bolts of cloth that are Plaid.
Mm. Plaid does kind of fly under the radar because it's scary, all the stuff that it plugs into.
I don't see a logo.
There's no logo. It's literally, they just found a stock photo of Plaid fabric.
Plaid probably would want it that way.
They don't want you to know.
So it's all the rage now to be woke and to be worried about the climate. We've got to fix the climate. And Microsoft has decided that... Now, Microsoft is already carbon neutral, which is impressive. Although they don't really manufacture a lot of stuff. You think if you took into account whoever's actually building the parts that go into the surfaces, that would still be true? Probably not, right?
Probably not.
But they just really consume electricity and, you know, whatever their campus consumes. But they've said that's not enough. They're going to go harder.
Microsoft pledges to be carbon negative by 2030 and recapture all of its past emissions. They're going to be fully on renewables by 2025. And then they're going to be so hardcore on renewables that they're going to outpace anything that they did previously. Of course, part of what makes that easy is the juggernaut that is Azure, because Azure is producing far more carbon emissions than Microsoft ever did through the 80s and 90s.
And remember, this doesn't mean you can't buy Microsoft products. Please continue to buy and consume as much as possible, because we're going to be carbon neutral.
All those Surface 5s, you can just throw those away.
Just buy a new one.
Don't worry about the battery. Just put it in the garbage. We got a couple of interesting crypto stories this week, and it has to do with these are ICOs in a way, but more creative than the old ICOs. I think the ICO kind of got a bad rap there for a while.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really hear about them. A lot of them were scams. A lot of people lost a lot of money. But it seems like, you know, the collective memory, we've cycled into the new. It's a new year. So let's get some new scams going. And this gentleman is an NBA player who is looking to do something like that.
Spencer Dinwiddie could decentralize pro sports if accredited investors want in. So he's doing his own coin that has something to do with his basketball career. I don't know.
So he's got a guaranteed contract, and the coin is based on that salary.
And something about the last year is optional, and so that's a gamble for coin holders.
If he were to option out of that last year and get a better contract, like if he's not injured and his play continues the way that it is, then somehow that will be beneficial to the coin holders.
And the NBA was saying that that's some form of gambling?
The NBA is not happy about this. In fact, they've gone so far as to say they will throw him out of the league if he does this, which, how does that affect a guaranteed contract?
Well, if it's not against the rules, then they're going to have a lawsuit on their hands.
We'll see, but you can get in on that if you want. I don't really know much about the basketball, but I understand that he's good.
The basketball. You know who really would have had a field day with this if it was available? It should have been Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
The Michael Jordan coin.
Oh, he could probably do that just based on his passive income. He's a rich man. They still sell the Air Jordans, right?
Yeah, they do, actually. I forgot. I think they still do those shoes. Yeah, I think all the basketball players have their own like shoe line now.
Not all of them.
Yeah, but the good ones do. Yeah. Yeah,
and perhaps the greatest of all time could certainly have. There's going to be arguments about that.
In before downvotes.
I don't even know. He's the greatest of my time when I cared at all about basketball.
He was in Space Jam. That's what matters.
There you go. And so that's in the U.S., but now if you want to go global and get on the hot new coin, it's the A-Coin. Oh, God, the A-Coin.
It actually happened. A-Coin just founded his own crypto and its city in Africa. So he got 2,000 acres in Africa to found a city. It's going to be A-Coin City.
Oh.
But they're going to use a new cryptocurrency to power the city.
The stock photo is
it's
a little off-putting.
Yeah, he's got these great pictures.
And it's only 20 minutes from the airport, so that's good.
So this is in Senegal. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And there was apparently some argument about, like, he wanted that 2,000 acres, and the people of Senegal was like, that's our land. And he's like, I can buy and sell you. And in fact, probably that's what he did. So he wants to create a whole 2,000-acre city, and the only kind of payment that goes down there is the A-Coin. And that's going to pay the workers, and it's going to be everything. And you can buy in and visit that city if you want.
This feels like super dystopian, like just really bizarre. Does he think like everything's going to collapse? He's like, I want to be basically make my own little country before that happens, or?
But it's also, you guys, I'm assuming neither of you are really A-Coin fans. Not familiar with his work.
No. Nope. Is he a musician? So,
yeah. He sings. He doesn't rap, he sings. But you know how like rappers want somebody singing the hook on all their songs?
Yeah.
So he's like really popular for singing the hook on some hard gangster rap. And so he's always rapping about like hard gangster stuff, or singing about hard gangster stuff. And he went from that to running a city, which is
They could have just bought Detroit. It would have been cheaper.
Yeah, but nobody wants to go there.
Mm. It's bizarre because I feel like 2,000 acres, you know, you could have gotten that kind of land here and had less issues with the locals, but...
No, it's... You're thinking about this all wrong, Krista, because this is going to be like every other resort. This is going to be a really... Well, in his mind, at least. I don't know if it'll work out, but I assume he's looking for like a Dubai type of...
Experience,
know,
I
beautiful,
guess.
Beautiful, futuristic city.
That's going to require oil money, not crypto money.
And all of those people from Senegal will be working there. And then they'll go home at the end of the day.
To the slums.
While all the rich people luxuriate in the... In the Akon City.
See also the Red River Gorge Resort coming soon.
Oh, Star Trek Picard Thursday.
Oh, there's an ad.
Oh,
here.
How hyped are you? Mm. Is it? Mm. Come on.
You're going to watch it. Same reason I'll watch the Lord of the Rings series, even if it's bad, because I need to know. I need to know.
Does he have a dog?
Yeah, he has a dog.
Oh, so oh, that's even better.
Nice.
What's the canon take on animals in the Star Trek universe?
I don't think they had any on this. Oh no, Data had the cat.
Yeah. Some of the people had pets. Picard had a pet fish.
That's not a pet.
That's, you can't even cuddle a fish.
It seemed like from the trailer, it seems like Picard running his vineyard was like just robots, completely automated, plus the dog, and it's like it's just him and the dog. And
what happens when the dog dies in this season?
How do you make money running a vineyard in the space communist future?
I think he just does it because that's what their family did for like hundreds of years. That's how they made it out to be in the
end. Is he on that Starfleet pension, you think?
Yeah. Well, the intro makes it seem like it's like, no, you're retired. You need to go away now. And he's like, I am Starfleet. And they're just like, no.
You think he made some like really smart investments based on insider information he got traveling the stars? Well, that's not what this story's about. That's
anyway,
an aside.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is Google Stadia. Now, Google Stadia made a lot of promises, and it kept about four of them, I think. So people are not really enthusiastic about Google Stadia, but they're like, no, listen, more games.
Google Stadia promises more than 120 games in 2020, including 10 exclusives.
I need to know what the 10 exclusives are.
But I don't know if they said.
Like, they said this to get a headline, but the service still isn't there. It's not there. It's not working.
It's like... Tetris, but like reskinned.
It's still like super beta. Like, you know how Google betas are? It's not even that. It's like pre-beta.
They do not mention...
Extra mega beta.
What would be...
Four games. Oh, here we go.
What if it was Cyberpunk? How many people do you think would buy it?
There was coming in 2020. These are not necessarily exclusives, though. Doom Eternal.
I don't know if it separates the exclusives.
I don't think it does.
These are all existing games.
Yep. And then the next one coming in
2020. Okay.
Cyberpunk 2077.
That's not exclusive.
Gods, Monsters, and Watch Dogs Legion.
Those don't sound exclusive.
And Doom Eternal, which doesn't sound exclusive either.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the exclusives are, even though this link promised me that information.
It lied.
Who cares?
Yeah.
The answer, Chris, is who cares?
Yeah.
I'll take who cares for 800, Alex.
Off in Japan, we talked about Toyota and their city of the future, where you'll be a good Toyota servant. And for that, you'll be rewarded with Toyota points.
Literally a serf.
So, Toyota, they have these big plans. They're like, we're not just selling cars. This is a lifestyle. In fact, this is your life. You will purchase it from Toyota or you will be destroyed. And they're coming up with all these new kinds of services. These are in Europe that are not the traditional car purchase.
Toyota Quinto combines leasing and car sharing and other services in Europe. It's part of Toyota's plan to become a full-service mobility company. So we kind of had some of this stuff in cities here in the U.S., cities like Seattle, which is kind of a ride-sharing thing. But this is going to combine self-driving with that. So it's like you need a car to go to the grocery store. You can just have it pick you up and do stuff. And it's going to be a Toyota Quinto.
Well, there's three different versions of it. I think Quinto is the... Or no, Quinto is all of them. So they have one where you lease the car, but you get insurance and all of the service as part of that lease. So they're going to call you up and be like, hey, take it here and get the service done.
Or it's going to drive itself to the service center.
Eventually, sure. And you just pay a monthly fee, and you don't think about any of it. The other one was more of what you're talking about, which is ride sharing. I don't really understand how that works, but like, it's a subscription, and you buy a part of a car, or a availability of several cars.
Time
or
sharing.
Essentially, yeah. And then the last one was just straight up, like, basically carpooling, but like the Uber. What's the Uber called? The multiple people.
I thought it was just ride sharing.
Yeah,
yeah, like you might be right about that. So you get all these different options in Europe on how you want to enjoy your Toyota. Well, I say your Toyota, not your Toyota.
Not yours.
You didn't own the software anyway, so I mean, it's fine.
I thought this would be a fun thing to look at. DICE has come up with the 16 top programming skills. Now, a lot of you are in this industry or thinking about getting into this industry, so maybe you need to think about looking into these.
16 top programming skills focusing on how data is the key for jobs. SQL, Java, software development and engineering, then Python, JavaScript, Linux, which is sort of generic, Oracle, C#, Git, C++, .NET, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you say Linux is generic. Don't you think software development is pretty generic? I don't understand how that fits
the
in
The top
there.
One should be people skills, and then watch everyone just like, oh.
I think it's funny that SQL is currently, like, what's the, like, that business curve where it's, like, the early adopters and then the trial of disappointment and then, you know, like, reasonable expectations. Where for SQL, for, like, the whole data science thing, because the whole, like, PII is asbestos, we're at, like, the peak of hype, and it doesn't do any of the things that people think that it does. And so by the time people actually get out of school, it's probably going to be, like, down here in terms of, like, data handling.
Also, XML is on the list. Are there just pure XML? It's like, listen, I don't know anything but XML, but I'm a god at it.
We're going to translate this kind of XML into this other kind of XML. It's just
continuously.
Yeah.
Until we die. So,
can the
yeah.
bot do this? No.
No.
Interesting. If you're getting into this business, or perhaps you're just, you know, hopping jobs, which they tell you to do.
They do tell you to do that.
The streaming services have been proliferating. There are so many of them, and we just keep getting more and more confusing to watch what you want to watch because you never know where it's going to be. Picard is the CBS one, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to watch that, you better get it by Thursday.
Mm.
And NBC has entered the fray.
NBC's new Peacock streaming service is just one big ad injection machine. So
basically any cable.
There was a shareholder call, and the people from NBC, it was a long shareholder call, and the people from NBC were basically like, we're going to have free $5 and $10 tiers, but look, we don't actually want anybody to sign up for the pay-for tiers. We want them on the free tier, because then we will have no remorse about shoving ads into literally every orifice they have.
But also the $5 tier is still ad-driven. You just get more stuff.
Yeah.
So there's like the super pleb, and then the one they're going to tease you to go up to, and then the one for $10 that they really don't want you to get.
Yeah.
But they have to give it to you because otherwise people are going to see what this is really about.
That's basically Hulu's pricing model.
Yeah.
Hulu does the same thing. I don't think they do a completely free service, but like they have the...
I think it's much higher, though.
Yeah, and it's like, here's the version where you can just watch it, but with ads, and then there's a version without ads, but it's way more expensive.
But Hulu gives you all kinds of distributors' content.
Yeah, it's not just one.
With this, it's just NBC.
Which...
But they own several movie companies, too. So you get a lot of
30 Rock
stuff.
Will probably be on there. But
now, like you say, this was a conference call. And we've said this before. If you really want to know what a company's about, listen in on a conference call. Go buy one share of stock if you have to. And listen to that conference call. Because it's incredible, the truth that will come out to the investors. And they just... It's like there was a gavel with the word ads on it. And they just hit it the entire call.
But it makes a squeaky noise instead. Yeah. It's like a child's gavel.
The whole business model is they're going to be... So, a TV show that is all one company. Maybe even one product. So, it's going to be like, you know, 30 Rock brought to you by Dawn Dishwashing Liquid. Which is what the soap operas used to be. You know, we've circled all the way back around. So, you're watching the show and... instead of seeing all these different commercials, they're just pounded into your head. One single product. Go and buy it. And if you don't, there might not be season two. Think about that, pleb.
30 Rock actually made a joke about Snapple where they had like some sort of vertical integration with it. And literally, the main character looks at the screen and is like, we love Snapple. Can we have our money now? Like, it was one of the best gags of the show.
Well, that's the other thing. They want to do a lot more ads like that, where it's like you're not seeing the same ad over and over. It's very unique.
Or it's just in the show itself. Yeah, it's a newer like show.
That. Man, I can't wait to do the Linode ad on the Friday episode.
I was trying to think about where to inject Linode ad. That would have been a perfect spot.
That would have been vertical integration. You just missed it.
I couldn't come up with a good Linode.
We'll put it at the beginning of Friday. It's fine. We'll try something different.
Now, we've been talking a lot about Google's inability for the brass to stop banging each other. They just can't do it. They got all that power, and it's, you know, that power, it goes to your head, and it makes you horny and lusty. And the boardroom, they're just all over each other. Ugh. But it turns out they're not alone.
Best Buy board investigating CEO Corey Barry for alleged misconduct.
There she is, that slut.
They really didn't choose a flattering image.
They never do.
She's like literally mid-talk.
In other news, Best Buy will no longer price match B&H Photo and Newegg.
So,
really is the Amazon showroom now, isn't it?
Yeah.
This was an anonymous letter. They don't know who pointed this out. Was it a spurned lover? We don't know. But they're going to investigate, and she says that she welcomes the investigation. She's eager to have it concluded. Hmm. That's not all she's eager for. Slate, this is the story I was thinking about before when I looked at the programming job. Slate has ranked the most evil companies of the decade.
Think about that. They seem to have crowdsourced that, though.
Now, before we go into this, you make your own guess for number one in the comments. Some surprising entries. We won't look at all of them. Let's look at the...
I like this, the image they did for this.
You want to start at 5 or 10?
Let's start at 5. 7.
Interesting mention that you might not think about. Number 14.
Tesla.
I'd be inclined to believe that. Of course, we're not uncritical of Tesla here.
So much scrolling here. Hang on. I apologize.
It's like watching my mom right now when you could just have the keyboard and hit end.
All right. Coming in at number 7.
Microsoft. Microsoft. Top 7. That's surprising.
Is it though? I mean, I don't think that's too surprising. Yeah. Mm.
You are aware of the
decade
tracking, right?
Yeah.
Spying and DRM.
The super mosquitoes.
Number 6 is no shock to anyone.
Apple, and it's because of Apple's duplicitous behavior with regard to things like tracking and taking down apps and the VPN stuff and the whole China regime. It's like, oh, we need to do whatever to do business in China. You got it.
That's familiar. This was not surprising, although its rank kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
I would think it'd be further down the list.
Yeah, Uber is number 5. There is definitely companies that are lower ranked that should trade with Uber, because Uber's going to be a self-solving problem.
But they had all that, like... sexual harassment and sexual assaults.
They make money on hype. They can't put the genie back in the bottle as far as like what the service is, but in terms of like their implementation of it, the only thing keeping them going is very wealthy investors.
That could in itself be evil though, right? To the shareholders.
Yeah.
Number 4 is not a surprise, although this is not a name that you think about when you think about big tech, and they like that.
Yeah. This That's picture exactly. that they've put with it too is very good.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Palantir. So Palantir Technologies is the one that they're a government contractor, and they work on literally everything. And we're proud we're working with the U.S. government, including like all of the really scary things the U.S. government is doing.
Like look at all that stick man violence.
There was another Lord of the Rings company on this list as well. Alphabet as number 3.
Come on. We all knew it was going to be top 3, right?
Yeah. But don't some be of you, evil's not there anymore.
Some of you are editing your comment right now because you're like, oh, I guessed Alphabet. But no, you're wrong. How about this one, Chris? Do you like this one?
You know, I like the other one better with the police beating the people in the streets. I thought that one was better.
It's weird.
What's the white glove?
Spray painting, and I think they're moving the earth, maybe. Like adjusting the world around them.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. Number 2, shocks no one, but once again, some of you are regretting your guesses now because you guessed this one.
Facebook. Facebook is number two, the second most evil company in the world. Yeah, I mean...
Don't need to explain that one, I don't think. I don't... Oh, these are likes.
Like buttons. See, I thought that was the Twitter icon in the illustration up top.
So that's kind of cool. And finally...
Number one.
Drum roll.
The Dark Lord himself.
Amazon. Yeah, the Slate has ranked Amazon the most evil company ever just because of their dominance in literally everything.
Well, they're destroying the climate with their fleets. Their workers are subjugated to the point of neo-feudalism.
Peeing in a bottle.
Yeah.
He's soaking up, you know, it's like the 1% taking advantage of the world. It's basically everything bad.
They should have him play Sauron.
Slate is very left-leaning, and, you know, they hate Bezos, obviously, a lot. So maybe some personal animosity there, but we certainly can't defend them much, can we?
You still get those one-day packages, though, don't you?
I love them. They're so good.
What's the last thing you ordered?
Cat treats.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. So they, like, tore you up.
My cats are insane. Greenies Dental Cat Treats. I'm pretty sure that they would claw my eyes out.
I didn't know they had cat versions of that. I mean, I always get Rue, like, the dog ones.
I had to. So it's this big tub, because the tub was on sale. They're usually, like, $12 or $13. It was on sale for $6. So I bought one. And Toast, like, I was holding the tub, and Toast actually jumped up and, like, wrapped his arms around it and hung there.
He loves the greenies. He needs his teeth clean.
And it's so funny because Toast doesn't even chew. He just inhales. And they're these big, and they're, like, super crunchy because that's how it cleans your teeth. I don't hear crunches when he eats. I don't know how he's doing it. I'm worried.
Sit down.
But Crouton is the opposite. He just, like, sits there and crunch, 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 crunch. It takes him forever to eat one. So what I do... is I'll drop one for Crouton, and then I throw Toast as far as I can through the house. And Toast can go and get it and eat it and be back before Crouton is done with his. I mean, they're crazy for the greenies.
Rue likes them, but she's not insane for them. Like, that's not her favorite treat.
We should put an Amazon affiliate link in the bottom for that.
Tuna greenies. Yeah, they're insane for those.
What flavor are greenies? We were talking about that the other day, too. No one knows.
Tuna.
Are they tuna?
They get different flavors.
Not for the dog ones.
Oh.
They're just green. There's no mention of what flavors them. Rue seems to like it, but...
They're 2 calories, so the tuna flavor can't be...
real.
I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, cats love it. My cats love it.
It's vaporized tuna.
Essence of tuna.
Meanwhile, switching to security news.
Oh, it's bad.
The Citrix servers have had some problems, and it was a well-publicized problem. Not everybody upgraded. And we have something of a Batman out there, but not quite the same as Batman. A little different.
A hacker is patching Citrix servers to maintain exclusive access. FireEye believes that this is a bad guy hoarding Citrix servers rather than a good guy vigilante looking out for organizations. So there is a vulnerability in Citrix, and there actually is no patch for it, or they were super late with the patch coming, but there were things you could do to mitigate it. And so nobody was patching their Citrix servers, and it's very bad.
So this guy will infiltrate your server, remove all the other malware, and then do nothing except leave his dropper in there. So is he a force for good who's just leaving a way in case he needs to come back and clean up again? Or is he waiting and biding his time?
I like to imagine, I want to believe he's a good guy, but he probably isn't.
Well, we'll see.
Probably not.
Interesting. A talented guy. Although I think that that security was pretty easy to exploit, which is why there was such a huge rush to attack the Citrix servers. And Wendell's favorite company is by far Oracle. God, he just won't stop talking about how good they are.
And, how much, you know, he loves their stuff.
Owns the stock. So Oracle has a bit of a history with their own vulnerabilities.
As in not patching them.
And there's kind of a lot of them. So when you see a headline like this, you might think, oh, that's a good thing. But really, it's more about, like, you know, sticking your finger in one hole while the spillway is just coming over your head.
Oracle ties previous all-time patch high with January updates. So, yeah, The January updates from Oracle are just off the charts. Everything is going to be broken. You're going to deploy these updates, and it's just going to be a mess. But hey, at least Oracle's patching. That's better than they were doing.
Chris, do you like this one?
I did actually like it. Kind of, I feel like it should make a noise, like a dun every time a Band-Aid comes down on it. It should be animated. Anyway.
They should hire you. You could have made that so much better. Well, dash cams. I have a dash cam, and I love it. And
everyone thought that was an ad. It wasn't.
I really, if I ever get in a car accident, though, I'm going to be really embarrassed. I think I'm going to have to mute the stuff I like give to the cops because of the horrible things I say when I'm driving about the other drivers.
Look at this idiot. Thinking,
no, it's much worse than that.
And, I don't want to get demonetized.
But hey, it's better than not having that security blanket, right? Because people are terrible drivers. But you might have to worry about which webcam you choose, or the webcam, dash cam.
This app lets us see everywhere people drive. Blackview has an app that shows the location of drivers that opt in. The creators say it should be possible to track users in bulk, but they found otherwise. Yet again, don't send your data to the cloud. Why would you do that? That's a terrible idea.
So if you have the app, you can actually share your location on this exciting little map here. That's an opt-in. You don't have to do it, right? No problem. Except when they reverse engineered the app, they found out that even the people who weren't opted in were still sending their location data.
Ah, the old, we're going to store your data, but we're also going to store the state of a checkbox that says, I have not opted in. Because that counts, right?
So they chose at random a couple of them that were near them in New York, tracked them for 4 or 5 days, and they said, yeah, we can say pretty confidently that we know where these people live. We could probably find their car on any given day.
That would be a really great counterintelligence thing because you could, you know, do some terrible crime and then set up some person that uses this app as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then they would be a plausible suspect for whatever terrible thing it is that you did.
There you
go. Pro criminal tip?
You're counting on the investigative powers yeah. being good enough to unravel your scheme.
You know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you're going to have to commit a high enough level crime to make sure the investigators go to that length. So if you're just robbing like a bodega or something, no, they're never going to do that. Well, there's a lot of white hat hacking, right? You can do penetration testing and you can submit bug bounties and stuff like that. And you can even use your machine learning skills and stuff like that in competitions to try to figure out ways to do good things. But then you can also cheat in horrible, horrible ways in some of the best meaning ones of these competitions.
Data science community rocked by pet adoption contest cheating scandal. So
look at this dog. He's
basically
so sad.
I forgot the name of the website.
Kaggle.
Kaggle? Okay. Oh. They had a contest that was like, hey, we need help making sure that all these pets get adopted. How can we write an online profile that makes sure that the pets are more likely to get adopted versus euthanized? And so that sounds like a job for AI, right? So they had a contest where the best team would be paid $1,000 and their algorithm or $10,000 and it'll be implemented on the website. Well, the winning team may have scraped the test data set from the Kaggle website, which meant that their algorithm was built for the criteria that the judges would use for evaluation. So that was perhaps not good.
So 1 in 10 of their pets had a perfect profile, guaranteed adoptable. And that caused them to get an insanely high score. It was between 0 and 1. They got like a 0.9 something.
Yeah.
So everybody got involved with the pet thing and they were like, oh, we're going to motivate the community and everybody's excited about getting pets adopted. So all these people entered. And then these people won, and then everybody was just like, all right, we're done. See you later. And they're like, wait, well, no, we need somebody to help us actually implement this on the actual website. No, don't leave. And there was one guy, one of the losers. And he was like, all right, I'll help. And when he started installing this, he was like, wait a minute.
Oh, people are terrible.
And yeah. That's why you don't do spec work. Or you don't hire for spec work.
They've been banned.
Contests don't work.
This is very ironic, that what this story is about, considering that they are throwing up this paywall blocker. And you know, if you say yes to all these things, you're going to get a bunch of cookies.
Cookies track you across the internet. Google wants to phase them out. But, you know...
Does Google really want that?
Google, well, see, the article, I think, misses it a little bit. But, yeah, Google actually does want to phase it out because they want you to use their tools for doing all that.
Get a Google account, and then we'll just track you everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly right. Because between Android and mobile browsers, that even on non-Android platforms, plus Chrome, plus everything else, Google can actually do a reasonable job tracking everything without cookies. So if they eliminate cookies, then competing platforms have a harder time doing the same level of tracking. I mean, Google was wanting your credit card history. They already mine your email for receipts, so they can incorporate that into your profile. Why not this?
So Google's alternative is something called client hints. So what's going to happen, Krista, and you can be very trustful about this process if you think about it.
I have a deep trust for Google.
Google's going to take this information about you, and they're going to protect it. And they're just going to let out little bits and pieces to the websites that you visit so that they can know who you are and some of these other things, kind of, but not in any way where they can actually violate your privacy.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
They're going to put the asbestos in a Ziploc bag, as it were.
You know what? I'm just going to stop using DuckDuckGo and switch back to Google because I really trust them.
And continuing on that same path, that was not the only thing that they're looking to phase out in lieu of their client hints. They're also going after the user agent.
Google to phase out user agent strings in Chrome. It's one of the things that advertisers currently use for end user fingerprinting. So even though we've disabled our ad blocker and don't really track cookies, advertisers will often use a fingerprinting technique which incorporates the user agent string and a whole bunch of other data points about your browser, things like screen resolution, etc., etc. And that can be used to uniquely identify a visitor even when they clear their cookies, even when they're using, you know, different browsers on the same device or any number of other things.
So Chrome is no longer going to report the standard user agent, although it will for legacy reasons till some unknown time when that's not a thing anymore. But they're going to offer this new thing, which is it's not going to tell them their operating system or anything else like that. It's just going to be very generic.
Hints.
More hints. Hint, yeah. Don't trust Google.
They ought to do the thing like Apple is doing, where it shows you what is being requested. So the website, you can get a thing like in the corner, just an icon, not a pop-up, not like the notification thing. But you get a thing at the top that's like, hey, the website would like to know your browser resolution, because there might be a legit need for that, and this, that, and the other. And you can be like, okay, yeah, that's cool. You can use that. I'm cool with that. I'm cool if, like, Pizza Hut knows my location so they can show me the closest Pizza Hut.
I feel like the normies would be overwhelmed by that. Mm. Well, you say, but they're trying to get
market share. Do you consider yourself a normie?
No.
So the message here in both these articles is that we need to trust Google because they have our privacy in mind. They would never invade the most intimate parts of our lives. That's not what they're about. They're here to help us.
Google can view millions of patient health records in most states. What?
Well, that seems contradictory to what I just said.
No, it does. How are they doing this? Oh, they're helping people organize their medical
records.
Friendship
ended with Google. They have started with DuckDuckGo.
They have partnerships. I don't remember the names of the companies, but they have several.
Intermountain.
Wow, that sounds like a good one, doesn't it? And Ascension. So Google is doing business with both those companies, and I'm sure it's anonymized, but how anonymous can medical data be?
The Google AI is like, I heard them talking about this once a long time ago.
Yeah. You've probably written some Gmail emails about that tumor and its location. Google will just put those together. Oh, that's who you are. And bad news for security this week, as we kind of already knew this.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say the old phrase, nail in the coffin. This is more like the sawed-off shotgun to the head.
Exploit fully breaks SHA-1 and lowers the attack bar. So if your application depends on the SHA-1 hash, I've got some bad news for you in the Threat Post article here.
So they can literally take their own data set and make it whatever they want it to be, and cause it to be a perfect collision with the real data set that you're trying to send. So you can imagine how that might be bad.
Would you call this the breach of the week?
It's not really. This is more of an exploit.
This will lead to several breaches of the week.
To breach of the weeks to come.
This I like this key, Krista. What do you think?
It's okay. It's fine.
Do you think, is this underwater? Is it in space? I don't.
That's the thing with like stock photos like this. It's just like, oh, I need a picture of a key, and it's not enough that you just use a picture of a key. It's like, make it look digital.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, we finally figured out the formula for finding prime numbers. Now we can search for prime numbers super quickly.
Well, you know, Krista, you mentioned the breach of the week, and this is not really a breach. It's a breach of trust. But this is something that not everybody knew about, and now that we find out about it, it is terrifying.
Records on Clearview AI reveal new info on police use. So, Clearview, that sounds innocent. What is that? That is the database of all public profile information of faces and names. Like, imagine a terrible search engine that has crawled the internet to find your picture and your name. It's been stuffed into a private database, and now it's available for police use.
Now, you're saying, we already knew about this. We know that cops are using facial recognition. Why? This is not a big deal. But this graph is really nice. So, remember that Los Angeles did some facial recognition, and there was controversy about that. Then there was Florida, which was the Palantir test and the Amazon test. They were using both. And Palantir was like, oh, this is fine. Don't worry about this. And then there's the FBI. We know the FBI is definitely farming our driver's license photos and et cetera. And so, you know what? Let's scroll down. Here we go. LA, not a big deal.
8 million.
Florida, FBI, well, let's scroll up a bit. Oh, okay. Well, it's more than the FBI? What? Oh.
Keep scrolling. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And this is open to police.
Yeah.
You can use this if you're a cop.
The genie is out of the bottle. So, yeah. Your face, our face, everybody's face. It's in a database.
Would you say it's in a book?
Reading Rainbow.
Facebook.
So, think about that while you wait for Friday's episode, where there'll surely be more bad news.
It's like kind of a downer note to end on. But.
Just put your head between your knees and just, you know, rock back and forth.
And protect your facial identity.
See you Friday.